era. The day-to-day compromise which the politically independent representative in liberalistic society concluded with the government and with his colleagues has given way to the compromise between large social and political organizations in the pluralistic state. What seems most interesting from a constitutional point of view is the transformation of the liberal rights of the individual. John Morley's guaranteed right of the individual to dissent as premise of the working of the compromise itself into a set of guarantees for the existence of the accredited social groups, the partners in compromise. This process of absorption of individual rights by monopolistic groups, also noticeable throughout the whole world, was especially apparent under the Weimar Constitution, where the mixture of traditional liberties and status quo guarantees under the misleading title of fundamental rights offered an excellent legal starting point for such developments. Footnote 29, text. Property rights became a protective screen for the process of monopolization. Freedom of religion was used to strengthen the existing religious cooperation, and freedom of speech and association had to be supplemented by strong protecting organizations in order to obtain recognition. It was the social group, as far as it was recognized by other groups, that got protection, not the individual. A member of a group found the authorities willing to protect him as against this group only in extreme cases or if the degree of social legitimacy of the group was rather problematic. And if one of the traditional rights of the individual was challenged, it could prevail only in the form of a group guarantee. Footnote 30. Text. The individual was thus forced into the group, and this fact, in turn, consolidated the status of the group. The functioning of political compromise became increasingly dependent upon the workability of pact among the predominant association of capital and labor, as well as among the organizations within each of these categories.